Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Pei Beis. We should note that the shiur continues with the discussion that we started during our previous shiur, Daf Pei Aleph. And if you will listen to the shiur, you will recall that we had an introduction to this section of the Gemara. So, very briefly, without reviewing the entire point, we had a Tanaic source at the lower part of Pei Aleph Umid Beis, in which a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva appeared concerning the status of a lender who received a mashgon, collateral, from the borrower. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the lender has the status of a shomer chinom, an unpaid bailey, and Rabbi Akiva holds otherwise, that the lender has the status of a shomer sochar. One point of practical difference between them would be in the case that the mashkon got lost. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the lender will still be able to recover his debt. The lender will be exempt from the fact that the mashkon was lost. As a shomer chinom, he is potter, and Rabbi Akiva will tell you otherwise. In the source there, we saw Rabbi Akiva saying that the borrower can say, "Is it not so that you lent me the money because of the mashkon? If you lost the mashkon, you lost your chance to collect your debt." That gave us the feeling then, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the lender being responsible for its loss has the status of a shomer sochar. The Gemara here on Daf Pei Beis, where we begin our shiur, goes through several attempts to clarify what is the point of disagreement, the underlying point of disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara: Lema b'dolo shavi mashkon shiur zuzi u'b'jishmuel komifligi. Shall we say that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva argue concerning a case where the mashkon, the collateral, was not worth, namely its value was less than the value of the loan, and they argue whether or not to accept Shmuel's approach to such a case? The Omar Shmuel, Haiman di Oisfe Alfa Zuzi Lechavre, an individual who lent 1,000 Zuz to his friend, the borrower. Fi Onach Le Kata de Maglo Ilayu, and the borrower gave as collateral the handle of an axe handle. Shmuel says, Ovad kata de magla, if the lender loses the axe handle, Ovdu alfa zuzi, he loses a chance to collect his loan of 1,000 zuz. Well, Rabbi Akiva will hold from that. The Tanakam Rebbezer will not hold from that. Now, in order to appreciate the Gemara that we just translated, Rashi adds another dimension of understanding. So let us look at the Rashi together at the third narrow line, B'dolo shovi shiur zuzi komiflegi u'b'dishmuel pligi, B'deshavi, if you were dealing with a valuable mashkon equal to the value of the loan, Moide, Rabbi Lezer would concede the leguvaino shakle, that he had received the mashkon as an alternative means of payment of the loan. Namely, if the borrower would not offer cash, the lender would keep the mashkon as payment. In such a case, Rabbi Lezer agrees with Rabbi Akiva that if a mashkon like that were lost, the lender will not be able to collect his debt. However, that's not the case here. Ubedelo shavi pligi. The machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer concerns a mashkon that's not worth the loan. It's worth less than the value of the loan. Dele Rabbi Lezer, less leide Shmuel. Rabbi Lezer does not hold from Shmuel's idea. The Omar Shmuel had said, Avud Alpha Zuzi, Vesavar de Kabil Guvaina, that the loss of the axe handle results in the lender losing 1,000 zuz, being of the opinion that the axe handle was, we'll call it, the alternative source of collection. Namely, if the cash would not be paid, so the axe handle would represent a source of collection. Ha, less later, Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer does not hold from that analysis. They came with the lo shavi, since it's not worth the loan. An axe handle is not worth $1,000. So why did the lender take such a mashkon, such collateral? Lezichron dvarim bi'alma hu denoket lei. He took it only as a reminder that he had a loan to collect. V'shemer chinam hu. And as such, the lender regarding the mashkon that's not worth the value of the loan is a mere shomer chinam, an unpaid bailey concerning that mashkon. Rabbi Kiva isle de Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva accepts Shmuel the Omar Savar v'kobil b'toras mashkon. The lender understood that he's receiving something of little value and nevertheless agreed to take it as collateral. V'chol kama de lo mahadri le lo ligvi. And as long as the lender would not return that mashkon, he, the lender, will not be entitled to collect his debt. So the thinking at this point, just to review, is that the machlokis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is whether or not to accept Shmuel's ruling. And the machlokis between Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva concerned the mashkon that was not worth the value of the loan. The Gemara continues, rejecting this. Iba delo shavi mashkon shiur zuzi. If you were dealing with a mashkon not worth the value of the loan, the kuli alma less lehu de Shmuel. All the tanoim, namely Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, would not have accepted Shmuel. Rather, the mashkon was merely as a memory device, and the loss of it would not result in the loss of the chance to collect the loan. The hacha b'deshavi shiur zuzi v'kamifligi b'Rabbi Yitzchak. Here, the machlokis Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva concerns a mashkon that's worth the value of the loan. It's a valuable mashkon corresponding to the value of the loan. V'kamifligi b'Rabbi Yitzchak. As you can see, our second volcano shape. What are the Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Kiva, arguing about? They argue concerning Rabbi Yitzchak's din. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin lebal choiv shekeinu mashkoin. From where do we know in the Torah that a bal chov, a lender of money, when receiving the mashkon, it's considered his? And we add to this idea that he's keinu mashkoin means he acquires it regarding all matters, meaning even to be chayev ba'oinsen, even if something beyond his control results in the destruction of the mashkon, he bears responsibility. From where do we know that that Baal Choyv Kena Mashkon Shneemar. The Pasuk says, Uluchot Yet Stoka, that when you act in accordance with the Torah's Mashkon regulations, which states that if you took a daytime garment as a Mashkon from a poor man, you have to return it to him for his use during the daytime. The Torah says that when you cooperate, then Uluchot Yet Stoka, it's viewed as if you have fulfilled an act of charity. If the lender who receives the mashkon, the example used was a poor man's daytime clothing. If you say that the lender who took that suit is not kene stoka minole, then why would the lender get stoka credit? Why would you get credit in doing an act of loving kindness, we'll say, with someone else's money, with someone else's valuables? Mekan, from here, from the pasuk that says Luchot Yet Stoka, we see Lebal Choyv Shekene Mashkon, that the lender, when he receives the Mashkon, it's considered as if it is his. So then, do we then see the Machlokis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva surrounding Rabbi Yitzchak? We take a look at the Rashi. Shekine Mashkon, we pointed this out earlier. L'chol Mili, the lender is said to receive the Mashkon for all purposes. This Chayv Onsen, even to be responsible in the case of Ones that befalls that Mashkon. The Gemara asks, V'tisbara, Amor Diyama Rabbi Yitzchak, the Mishkan Oshelo B'Shas Havaso. Rabbi Yitzchak's analysis and his din that a Baal Chayv is Kena Mashkon, that is with reference to a Mashkon, a collateral that's given to the lender at a time later than the presentation of the loan. That Pasuk comes from a section of the Torah that deals with a lender that sees that the borrower is not going to pay up, and the court appoints an agent to collect from the house of the borrower collateral to present to the lender as a means of compensation, a means of payment for the loan. That's what Reb Yitzchak was dealing with. Avo mishkenoi b'shas havaso miyomar, but a mashkon that is given at the time of the loan itself, would Reb Yitzchak have said his din regarding that? Now, we know that the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, concerns this kind of Mashkon, because in the Tanaic source, at the bottom, Pei Aleph and Beis, the description was Hamalva es Chavero al HaMashkon. The lending was done in exchange for the Mashkon, so already at the initial lending point, a Mashkon was presented. Let us look together at Rashi. Amor, the Omer of Yitzchak, b'mishkano shaloi b'shas havoso. T'ha kro, b'mishkano ayudei shliach beisin ksiv. The pasuk of Uluchot Yet Stoka is the reference to the return of the Mashkon that was collected by the court agent. D'chsiv li'el minei, there in the Torah, it says before the pasuk we read, it says Bachutz Ta'amod, that the lender himself stands outside waiting for the court agent to make the collection from the borrower's house, from items inside his house. U'mukminin lo l'kamon b'shlich beisin v'ahu v'aday koni. That kind of mashkon is certainly going to be acquired by the lender. The leguvayno shakle, it was taken for the purpose of collection of the debt. The leka ledmuya lemishkanoi b'shas havaso, and you can't compare that to a case of collateral extended at the very beginning of the loan. Ubahach plukta derebelezer hamalva al hamashkon kotoni, and it's regarding that the mashkon b'shas havah that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva are arguing. So to set them up as an argument surrounding Rabbi Yitzchak's din, that's simply inaccurate. Rabbi Yitzchak is dealing with a mashkin shelo b'shal savo, as the pasuk indicates, and the machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva concerned the mashkon that was given at the time of the initial extending of the loan. We continue in the Gemara. Hello, Mishkan Shelo b'shas avoso kuliyamo isul Rabbi Yitzchak. Regarding a mashkon that was collected later on, everyone agrees. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer agree that we accept Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching. Here, the machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva concerns a mashkon that was given initially, and the analysis of how we classify the shomer, the one who's guarding aveda, a lost item. Komifliki, that's what they, Rabbi Lezer and Akiva, are arguing about. What's the connection between a lost article? We were talking about receiving collateral. What does that have to do with a lost article? So, in a nutshell, the common point, and that's why we're citing Shem Raveda, is that extending loans to needy people and watching a lost item until its return are both acts of mitzvah. To Itmar. So whatever we say about the Shomer Aveda, we will be able to then say with regard to a mashkon that's given in the case of an exchange for receiving a loan. The Itmar Shomer Aveda, it's been stated concerning the guard of a lost item. Rabba Omar Kishomer Chinam, Rav Yosef Omar Kishomer Socher. Rabba says that the Shomer Aveda has the status, if you're watching a lost item, you have the status of a Shomer Chinam. And if the owner of the lost item comes claiming it and you don't have it because it got lost, you will be exempt. Rav Yosef Omar Kishomer Socher. And Rav Yosef says the Shomer Aveda has the status of a Shomer Socher, which, by the way, is what Rabbi Akiva had said regarding the Malve, the lender, holding on to the Mashka. So, just like you see a Machlok is concerning Shomer Aveda, does he have the status of a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Socher? So too regarding the lender who has a mashko, which he received in the context of a mitzvah, of extending a loan to somebody. Does he have the status of a shomer chinam? Well, that's like Rabbo said by a shomer aveda, Rabbi Eliezer the Tana says by the lender vis-a-vis the mashko. Rav Yosef, who said he is like the shomer aveda is like a shomer socher, would be in the spirit of Rabbi Akiva, who said that the lender has the status of a Shomer Socher regarding the Mashkon. We pointed out the common denominator between the two. They're both articles that are being watched in the context of a mitzvah. The mitzvah of returning a lost item, or the mitzvah of extending a loan, which is integrally related with the mashkon. In other words, the loan would not have been extended if not for the mashkon. The Gemara asks, Lema de Rav Yosef Tanoihi, should we say that Rav Yosef is who said that the Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Socher, is actually a point concerning which the Tanoim would disagree about? Because if you're saying that the Shomer Aveda that Rav Yosef addressed is like a Shomer Socher, and we're saying that that is parallel to the lender being considered a Shomer Socher over the Mashkon, it would then leave one to conclude that Rav Yosef's din of Shomer Aveda being like a Shomer Socher is something that only Rabbi Akiva would subscribe to. the Tana Kama would not subscribe to that. So should we say that Rav Yosef is a machlokes Tanoim? Lo, b'shem Ravedo de Gliamo is Lehud Rav Yosef. Regarding one who is watching a lost item in anticipation of returning it to the owner, everyone agrees that we accept Rav Yosef's approach, that he is like a Shomer Socher. You might ask, what pay is he getting? After all, he's watching a lost item. So we say that the mitzvah that he is fulfilling serves as his pay. There is another explanation having to do with Oisik b'mitzvah poter mitzvah, when the Shomer Aveda is caring for the Aveda, and a poor man would come by asking for bread, asking for a donation, you would not have to pay at that time. So, called the saved money that comes as a result of caring for a lost article makes you, the Shomer, who saves the money that he would have otherwise had to give into the poor man, and considers that like a, and therefore considers him like a Shomer Socher. So our question had been, should we say that Rav Yosef is a machlokes Tanoim? No, that we're not going to say. B'shem Rav Eda, the Kuliyama Islahu de Rav Yosef. As far as someone who's watching a lost article, everyone will agree with Rav Yosef that he has the din of a Shomer Socher. So then, if everyone agrees with Rav Yosef, what is the machlokes Tanoim concerning? Before we continue, let us look at the Rashi that you see four lines from the end. B'shomer Aveda de Kuliyama Isla de Rav Yosef. Everyone holds from Rav Yosef regarding the Shomer Aveda. Klomar, Rabo hu de dochik leukmi milse ketanoi. Rabo has, we'll say, difficulty in saying that his opinion that the Shomer Aveda has a din of a Shomer Chinom would be something that all Tanoim would agree with. Aval Rav Yosef Omar Loch, Rav Yosef will say, Rabbi Lezer Nami Koy Gavosi, Rabbi Lezer holds like me, Hecha Deika Mitzvah, Kigoin Shomer Aveda. When there is a mitzvah, so when you're involved with that mitzvah, you don't have to pay the poor man walking by. You saved that money. So all Tanoim will agree that the Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Socher. Rashi continues. Rav Yosef will tell you that Rabbi Lezer Nami Koy Kavosi, Rabbi Lezer also holds like me, Hecha Deiko Mitzvah Kegon Shomer Aveda. The Hocha, the Machlokes, where Rabbi Lezer describes the lender who's holding on to the Mashkon as a Shomer Chinom, Vocha Heinu Taima De Potter De Kosovar Ein Kan Mitzvah. The thinking is that in this case, the Mashkon that the lender received is an act, behavior that's void of mitzvah fulfillment. If there's no mitzvah, then Rav Yosef says, I can see how Tanoim would hold that he's a Shomer Chinom, because he doesn't have the fulfillment of a mitzvah to serve as his payment. So now the Gemara says, the Hocha, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, b'malve tzorech lemashkon komifligi. The lender and his right to use the mashkon is the source of disagreement. Rashi at the top says, b'malve tzorech lemashkon lishtamish bo, to use the collateral. Now, we've learned earlier in this Masichta that here you would run into a problem of interest. The lender would be using the mashkon, and eventually when the loan is paid back, he'll return the mashkon. However, he's going to end up having received not only the principal paid back to him, but having had additional benefit from the use of the mashkon. So the solution to that is what Rashi describes now. The lender would agree to reduce from the principal that he anticipates collecting in accordance with the use of the mashkon during that interim period until the loan is paid up. And that's what this expression means. The lif cycle of lios poches. Poches is to subtract min hachoiv, subtract from the debt. V'hoilech, continue that way till the end. Komifliki. Rabbi Kiva sovar afilu hachi. Iko mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva says, even though the lender is going to be, we'll say, subtracting from the principal value of the loan, there nevertheless is a mitzvah, and that represents the lender's receipt of pay. And hence, if you're being paid by getting mitzvah credit, you will be considered a shomer sochar concerning the malveh, the mashkon that you as malveh have received. So the Gemara at the top says, as we read, the malveh tzorch lemashkon komifliki, the more sovar mitzvah ka'ovid shehilveu v'havei shomer sochar. Rabbi Akiva is this opinion that says that you have fulfilled a mitzvah by having given this borrower a loan, and therefore you become a shomer sochar over the mashkon that you, as a lender, received. Umor savar lav mitzvah ka'ovid. Within this context, we cannot say that the lender is fulfilling a mitzvah. Shelahanosoi miskavei v'havei shomer chinam. He extended the loan in order to get this mashkon that he needed to use. So his whole extension of the loan was for personal, well, selfish, self-interest, not for the purposes of being mekayim a mitzvah, fulfilling a mitzvah by loaning a needy man money. So since there was no element of mitzvah in this case of the extension of the loan, where you received in return a mashkon that you would be able to use, you're therefore going to remain as a shomer chinam. And just to repeat, why do we say there's no mitzvah? Because it was lahanosu miskaven. He extended loan for his own personal benefit, namely the use of the mashkon that he would receive. And since it was for personal benefit that the loan was extended, we don't say that there is a mitzvah fulfillment that would make the lender into a shomer socher, but rather he remains as a shomer chinam. Abba Shol Omer, Mutter L'Odom L'Haskir Mashkanoi Shel Oni Lios Poches V'Holech. The Mishnah said, Abba Shol said in the Mishnah, that a lender who received collateral from a poor man unto whom he had loaned money, this lender is entitled to rent it out and make money from that rental, and whatever he makes, he'll subtract from the principal. That's lios poches v'holech. Abba Shol Omer, muter liodom lahaskir mashkano shel oni lios poches v'holech. If one received collateral from a poor man, Abba Shol tells us, you as the lender can rent out the poor man's collateral that he gave you in the interim, and the rent money that you get from that will be subtracted from the principal value of the loan that you're trying to collect from the poor man. Omar of Chonon Bar Ami, Omar Shmuel, Halacha Kabashol. The point we just mentioned, that a lender who has a mashkon of a poor man is entitled to rent it out. V'af Abba Shol Lo Omar Ela. Abba Shol, who spoke of a lender renting out the mashkon received from the poor man, what was the mashkon? So he says that even Abba Shol didn't say the, we'll say the heter of renting it out, Ela Bemora uposal v'kardom. Hayol v'nofish agrayo v'zutu pechsayo. He said his din with regard to a mora, which is a shovel or a spade, a pasal, Rashi gives you a French word for that, and kardom is Rashi for that, a French word as well, but it's a reference to a type of axe. Why is Abba Scholes, and these items were given as collateral to a lender. It's only here that Abba Scholes says it's mutter for it to be rented out. Why? Hayo v'nofish agrayu v'zuter pechsayu. Since the rental rate that you can get for it is great, and zuter means, and little is the pechsayu, is the depreciation with regard to these items, even after they have been used. So since there's great schar and little depreciation, Abba Scholes in the Mishnah then teaches us that you can rent out those items that were given to you as a lender from a poor man and subtract the from the principal whatever you're making from these rentals. You as the lender are making from these rentals. Now, the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, we glance in the margin. We have our Nosar topic heading, which reads, Hamavir Chovis Mimokoim Lemokoim Vishibro. A person was transporting a barrel from one location to another, and it broke. Machlikis Tanoim Im Yesh Efshus Lishova Vilipoter. We'll see a Tanaic disagreement as to whether there is a possibility of swearing and gaining exemption from having to compensate. The Mishnah. Hamavir chovis mimokim lemokim v'shovra. Bein shomer chinom, bein shomer sochar. Yishova. One is transporting a barrel from one location to another, and it broke. Whether you are a paid Bailey, a Shomer Socher, or a Shomer Chinam, an unpaid Bailey, you have an option of swearing that you were not negligent, and thereby gain exemption. This is a bit difficult to understand at this point, because when you deal with a Shomer Socher, even if you are not negligent, but loss happens to the item you are watching, you have to pay. Where does this oath come in that would enable a Shomer Socher to gain exemption? We'll wait for the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zeh v'zeh ishova. Rabbi Eliezer says, I too heard that both a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Socher have the option of swearing and gaining exemption. However, personally, I would be amazed if that could really come to be. So on the one hand, I heard that tradition. On the other hand, on a practical level, I don't see that happening. This Mishnah, as is the case with regard to many Mishnahs, is quite vague, abstract, and hard to understand. The Gemara will hopefully explain all of the details. Tonu Rabbanan. Hamavir chovis lechaveru mimokum lemokum. Person who is transporting a barrel for his friend from one place to another, v'shavra, and it broke. Bein shomer chinom, bein shomer socher, yishova divrei Rabbi Meir. Whether you're an unpaid Bailey or one who was paid, you can swear and gain exemption. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shomer chinom yishova, nosei socher yishalem. Rabbi Yehuda says that the unpaid Bailey, he can swear that he was not negligent and thereby gain exemption, but the paid Bailey will have to pay. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, ze veze yishava, utami ani im yichilim ze veze yishava. Lemaimra, is this to suggest the shita of Rebbe Meir that we saw, that they can swear and gain exemption? The Sovar Rebbe Meir, Niska Lav Poshehu, that one who trips, as in our case, he tripped and the barrel broke, but tripping is not considered an act of recklessness. And since it's not an act of recklessness, we see there's grounds for swearing and gaining exemption. Is that really Rebbe Meir's opinion? V'hotanya. We have the following source that would seem to indicate to the contrary. Nishbaro kadoi velo silko, a person's jug broke and he didn't remove the pieces. Noflo gemoloi velo hemida, person's camel fell and he didn't pick it up. Rebbe Meir mechayev behezekon. Rebbe Meir will hold responsible the owner of these items for damage they cause. V'chachomim omrim poter midinei odom v'chayov bedinei shamayim. The chachomim say that the owner of these items will be exempt in terms of paying, exempt in earthly terms, but held responsible in the court of heaven. V'kaimalon, and the understanding we hold regarding this Tanaic source, the Beniska Poshea Pligi, that they argue, Rebbe Meir versus the Chachamim argue, concerning how to classify someone who trips. Rebbe Meir, who you saw in this source, obligates payment. That's because he holds that tripping is an act of Pshia. Tripping is the result of recklessness, of Pshia. So you see from here that Rebbe Meir holds that Niskal Poshea. Earlier, with regard to the opinion of Rebbe Meir, the one who, while transporting barrels, breaks it, can gain exemption through swearing, indicating that Niskal is not Poshea, that tripping is not considered an automatic act of recklessness, but rather it comes under the category of oines, something beyond your control. Therefore, you can swear and gain exemption. Omar Rebbe Lozer. This is an Amora, not to be confused with the Rebbe Eliezer, the Tana that we saw before. We have some structural business to take care of before we can go any further. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei / Mivneh, Niskal Poshea Hu Olo. The issue that we have started. Is tripping considered an act of recklessness or not? The diamonds that you see highlight Rebbe Lozer, that's one Amora, and later on, Rebbe Chia Bar Abba. His name will be highlighted on Pei Gimel and Aleph, five lines from the top. Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Chia Bar Abba are Shnei Gishos, two approaches, Liyashev Stira B'Shitas Rebbe Meir B'Nyan Niskal Ihavi Poshea. Two Amoraic approaches in order to explain Rebbe Meir's opinion regarding tripping. The double underline marking that you see highlights Hesberim L'Tanoim Ho'achirim, explanations of the other Tanoim we encountered. We saw Rebbe Yehuda, we saw the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, and their shitas will be highlighted, the explanations that the Gemara provides for their shitas are highlighted with this double underlining. We now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Lozer, Tavra mi sheshanazu lo shanazu. Tavra would mean literally from the word shavar, break apart or split apart. The two presentations of Rebbe Meir are a function of two later authorities presenting Rebbe Meir, each one holding different from the other. He who taught this did not teach that. So he who taught Rabbi Meir as holding Niskal Poshea is not the same Tana that taught Rabbi Meir holding that Niskal is Poshea. We have a bracketed section of Gemara. The brackets that you see here and the brackets that you will see on Pei Gimel Omen Aleph that follow Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, these two brackets are not really for skipping purposes. Matrosam Laharos, the purpose of having these respective sections of Gemara bracketed, is to show Sha'isiketa Shimsokan Choizer al Atzmoi Tachas Rubchia Barabo Baumun Habo. Whatever appears in the first bracketed section will be repeated word for word after Rubchia Barabo appears. In other words, the difference between Rebbe Elazar and Rubchia Barabo concerns their presentations of how to deal with Rebbe Meir. However, their presentations of the other Tanoim, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Lezer, are the same. Begisha shelanu l'sukizu, hivlatnu es habnei plukta, Rebbe Lezer v'Rebbe Chiyo bar Abba, b'machlekoisam eich liyashef astiro b'Rebbe Meir. As we indicated, this marking approach is designed to highlight the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba with regard to their explanation of Rabbi Meir, how to resolve the stira that we saw in Rabbi Meir. The other information, the bracketed sections, are sections of more where there's no difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So we, through these markings, we're enabling you to focus on where you see their difference, their machlokas, if you will, in how to deal with Rebbe Meir. Le Rebbe Elazar, we said this already in the Gemara, but we'll continue reading our starred note. The Rebbe Elazar yesh shnei deis Rebbe Meir im loymar deniskal poshea. As far as the Amora Rebbe Elazar is concerned, there are two deos, two opinions as to what Rebbe Meir holds in reality with regard to tripping. Is it poshea or not? The Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, he who appears on Daf Pei Gimel, Lefi Rebbe Meir, Meikir Hadin Niskal Poshea, V'chayev L'shalem, by letter of the law, at the root of the matter, Rebbe Meir will tell you that tripping is Poshea and you have to pay. Ela dechachomim tiknu shvua kedei lipoter. However, the rabbis intervened and established an oath for the individual to swear and gain exemption, so that even though technically speaking he is poshea, it's considered an act of recklessness, the rabbi still provided a way out for this guy to gain exemption, i.e. through swearing. What's the swearing? He'll swear that he didn't deliberately break it. That doesn't mean that he wasn't reckless, but by swearing that you didn't deliberately break it, you can gain exemption. Again, that's a rabbinic enactment. Now we turn back to our Gemara text. We've already seen Rebbe Elazar, first diamond, and how he deals with the contradiction in Rebbe Meir, saying there's no contradiction, but rather they represent two different versions or two different opinions as to what Rebbe Meir actually holds. We continue now in the bracketed section. The Asa Rabbi Yehuda Lemeimar. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw in the Brisa, we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above. On that line, Rabbi Yehuda appeared where he said a Shomer Chinam can swear and gain exemption. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the tripping, the Niskal, is definitely not Poshea. Shomer Chinam Yishava, the unpaid bailey can swear that he wasn't negligent. Nosei Sochar Yishalem, the paid bailey has to pay. He has to pay for the breaking of the chovis. Hai ki dinei, the high ki dinei, each one in accordance with the standard that applies to each one. Namely, the shomer chinam is not culpable when something breaks or gets stolen. The shomer sochar is culpable, even if it wasn't an act of negligence, but he's culpable for loss or for theft. And this is certainly no less than that. So as far as the Tana Reb Yud is concerned, Niskal tripping is not an act of negligence. The also Reb Elezer Lemeimar, and the Tana Reb Elezer came to say in Gemara, Rebbe Meir, the oral tradition is like Rebbe Meir, that whether you're a Shomer Sochar or a Shomer Chinam, you can swear and gain exemption. Umihu tamiani im yecholim zevazeli shava. But it remains a point of amazement to me whether both can swear and gain exemption, both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sochar. Bishlam Shomer Chinam mishtaba delo pashabo. Granted, the Shomer Chinam can swear, I wasn't negligent, and I hold like Rabbi Huda that niskal lav posheya. It's not necessarily an act of negligence. If a Shomer Chinam swears that he wasn't negligent, he wasn't reckless, the tripping being a type of oinus, if you will, as swear to that effect and gain exemption. There's a Rashi that is out of place. The Rashi I'm referring to is found on the Pei Gimel Amud Aleph in the narrow lines. In our marked Gemara, so you can see we've highlighted it with a dashed frame so that it stands out as a Rashi that really is out of location. We also have a double star that you can see. If you turn to Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, on the upper part of the narrow lines, Rashi there says, V'ein, it says, in Gemara Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, yes, the oral tradition that I have is like Rabbi Meir, Dishneim Turim Bishvua Shomati, that both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sochar are exempt through an oath that they take. Af Ani, Shomati Af Ani, I too heard that tradition. Umiyu Tamiani, but I still remain amazed. The Bishlam Shomer Chinam Mishtaba Delo Pasha, Dano Biyamo Krebuta Sfirali Deniska La Poshehu Valav Onus. I hold like Rebuta that a Niska, one who trips, is, it's not an act of Pshia, but it's also not an act of Onus. Elo Shomer Sochar Vechule, but the Shomer Sochar, that I have trouble understanding. So now we turn back to our Gemara. We are reading the Gemara three lines from the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Beis. Elo Shomer Sochar Amay Mishtaba. The Shomer Sochar, though, why is there an option for him to swear and gain exemption? Ki lo pasha nami shlumi boy, even if he's not reckless, he still has to pay. V'afilu Shomer Chinam nami ha teinach b'moko midron. The Shomer Chinam as well, we can say that the breakage was close to an oinus if he was walking on some type of midron. Midron is a decline. It's easy to trip under circumstances like that. Shaloba Moko Midron Mi Motsi Mishtaba Dolo Pasha. However, on a flat surface, his tripping there is clearly an act of recklessness. He's definitely a poshea. Why then would the Shomer Chinam be exempt? We continue at the top of Daf Pei Gimel. V'afilu b'moko midron nami, and even in a case where the breakage took place on an incline, there too, ha'teinach echo deleko raya. I can understand that the shvua will help gain him exemption if there is no proof, there are no witnesses. Aval hecho deiko raya, nesi raya v'niftar. But if there is proof that you weren't reckless, then only through the proof, namely through witnesses, would we allow you to gain exemption, but not through an oath. Tisanya, Isi ben Yuda Omer, quoting a pasuk, Ein ro'eh shvuas Hashem tieh bein shneim. Where there is no one that sees, then the shvua can be relied upon, the oath can be relied upon. Ha yesh ro'eh, but if there are those that see, namely there are witnesses, Yavi Rayov Yiftar, you'd have to bring the witnesses to say that you were carrying it down an incline and then the barrel broke. But the Shvua would not help. So you can see how they, even when we speak about the effectiveness of a Shvua, nevertheless the circumstances that would allow for that are themselves quite limited. We continue now with the second diamond, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shvuzu Takonas Chachomim Hi. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba deals with Rebbe, the steer in Rebbe Meir, and points out that it's a Rebbe Meir essentially holds that Nisgal is definitely Poshea. However, the rabbis intervened and provided an option to swear and gain exemption. That's what we mean by a takonas chachamim. And the Gemara continues, she'im i'ata oimer kein, if you were to say otherwise, namely, if you're not going to say that he has an option of gaining exemption, you'll find no one that will be willing to transport barrels from one place to another. It's true that falling is something that you could have avoided. In falling, you're considered reckless, but people aren't going to want to get involved if they don't have some option to gain exemption. So that now the Gemara asks, all right, granted that Nisgal Poshea, and we do on the other hand allow him to swear, but Hechi Mishtaba, what is he going to swear that will enable him to be exempt from compensating for breaking the barrel? Omar Rova, Shvua Shelo Bekavona Shibartia. He would swear that I didn't deliberately break it. In other words, granted, it's considered an act of recklessness when you trip and fall and break the barrel, but you didn't break it deliberately. That's enough for us, for the court, to hear that you swear thusly, and you are entitled to an exemption for compensating. And as we indicated before, the next number of lines that you can see in the brackets, we have a bracket length indicator, is word for word the same as that which we said before. So there's, and from our standpoint, there's no need to dwell on any translation here. V'yoso Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, shomer chinam yishava, noisei socher yishalem hai kedinei v'hai kedinei. V'yoso Rabbi Elazar lemeimar in Gemara k'Rabbi Meir, Umiu tamiani imichilim zevezeli shava. Bishlamo shemer chino mishtaba shelo poshaba. Elo shemer sochar amai mishtaba ki lo poshanami boy shlumi. Fafilu shomer chino nami ha tenach bemoko midroin. Shelo bemoko midroin mi motzi mishtaba shelo posha. Fafilu bemoko midroin nami ha tenach. Hecho deleko raya, hecho deiko raya, nesi raya viyftar, desanyiz ben Yehuda Omer, ein royesh was Hashem, tie ben shneem. Ha yesh roye, yavi raya viyftar. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a house shape, and on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading, the house highlights Hahu Gavra. Shnei Maisim Shel Hefsid Chavero. We have two stories involving loss caused to someone else. The double underline marking highlights the phrase Osu Lekame de Rava. In other words, the case has come to Rava. Rava Posak Al Pi Isi Ben Yehuda. Rava rules and based on Isi Ben Yehuda de Bemakim Sheev Shelah Viraya Ein Lifter Al Yedei Shvua, where you could have presented witnesses. In other words, witnesses were there. They, whatever the incident was, someone probably saw it. We will not rely on a shvua in order for you to gain exemption. If you want to prove your case, do so by bringing witnesses. And that's because witnesses were available. The Gemara. Ahu gavra dahave komaver chavisa dechamra beristika demechuza. There was a man transporting a barrel of cham of wine, beristika, in the streets of Mechuza. V'tavra beziza de Mechuza. And the barrel broke on a ziza. A ziza is a beam that extends forth from a wall, jutting out into a public thoroughfare. So he broke the barrel on colliding with the beam. Also lekame de Rava. The case came to Rava. Omar le, ristika de Mechuza, shchichi bo inchi. The streets of Mechuza are populated by people. Shchichi means common. It's common that people are found there. Zeal, icy, raya of iftar. Bring witnesses that what you claim happened in fact happened, and through that you can gain exemption. But a shvua, by simply swearing, that will not help you. Amar le Rav Yosef Brei, Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, Keman Kiisi, is what you are saying, that you must bring the witnesses because they were available. Is that based on Isi? Amalein Kiisi Usvirulon Kavose. It is in accordance with Isi, and we hold like him. My assumption is that this this case, namely colliding with the beam, even if you view it as an act of recklessness, we could say, well, shouldn't you have looked where you're going? Nevertheless, we saw what the Gemara explained before, what Reb Chiya Bar Abba taught, that the shvua spoken of is a shvua that's a takonas chachamim. If you swear that you didn't break it deliberately, you can nevertheless gain exemption. However, we qualified that by saying that in the case where there are witnesses, we will not rely on the shvua. The witnesses will say, yes, he collided with the beam, but he didn't break it deliberately. Hahu gavra, the omar, we continue in the Gemara. Hahu gavra, the omar le lechavre, zil zoven li arba mea doni chamra. There was a man that requested of his friend, would you buy on my behalf 400 barrels of wine? Ozal zoven le, he went and bought the wine. L'soif also l'kame. At the end, as it went on, he came before him. Amar le zvini loch arba mea doni chamra utakifu lehu. I bought for you 400 barrels of wine, but they went sour. They became vinegar. Also l'kame de Rava. The case came to Rava. Amar le, Rava said, Arba mea doni chamra takifi, that 400 barrels of wine turn into vinegar, kala is la lemilsa. That's something that is well known. Now, it's well known. Rashi across from here says, kala is lehu, emas ichmitsu, v'etzel mihoyu. People would certainly know when they went sour, in whose possession it was. v'shel mi hoyu, and who was the owner of it? Shema shel cha hoyu. Maybe they were your barrels. O konisa chaimitz b'damim p'chusim v'lo etzlecha hechmitzu. Or you simply bought vinegar at a cheap rate, and they, not that they went bad by you. So because there's a kill, because it's well known, zil isi raya, we continue in the Gemara, zil isi raya, the meikora kimazus lu chamrum al yahave viftar, bring a proof, bring witnesses that could testify that when you bought it, it was good wine. And in the interim, it went sour. And that way, you can gain exemption. Homele Rav Yosef Bray. Come on, Kisi. Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, said, like we saw before, this ruling that you will accept only witnesses in order for this party to become exempt, is that based on Isi Amalayin? Yes, Ki Isi, it is like Isi Usvir Lon Kavosei, and we happen to hold like him. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our No Sour topic heading, which reads Takanois Be Nosei Masois, rabbinic rulings concerning compensation in the case of breakage with regard to the transport of loads. Askin Reb Chiya Bar Yosef B'Sichra. Sichra is the name of a place. So Reb Chiya enacted in Sichra Hani the Doru B'Agra. Doru means those that carry the transport by that through the use of an agra. V'Isfar, and the item broke. Rashi describes, and truth be told, it would be beneficial if we had an illustration to accompany this, but Rashi says, the doro ba'agro, moit, moit is a pole, kafuf, be'emtso, it's bent in the middle, v'noislag sefo, and he places this on his shoulder, v'nose shnei badin, badim, is an expression that refers to things that are suspended. Those are two, at the two ends of the pole, there is a, items that are suspended, b'shnei roshav, and that's two ends, v'naisei b'masa kavid, and through this method, he's able to carry a heavy load. If under circumstances like this, that it was a porter transporting something, a load, a heavy load, using an agra, nishalem palga, Reb Chiya instituted that the porter will pay half damages. My taima, why half damage? It's a very unusual payment. We're familiar with half damages in the context of a shor tam, a domesticated, docile, goring ox. But where do you, where do you come up with this idea of paying half for the breakage of an item being transported? So the Oras Maitaima, why is that? Answer, Nofish Lechad Vezutar Letrei. A load that's carried on an agra is a type of load that's a little bit too heavy. Nofish means too much for one individual, and it's too little for two people. In other words, you don't really need to have two people. Two people could carry much more. But it's, so therefore, it's not really fit to hire two people to carry this kind of load. Therefore, when one person tried to carry it, and it broke, Karov Loines v'Karov Lipshia. It has elements of Oines, of something beyond your control, and it also has elements of recklessness. The Rashi points out, "My taima nofish lechad v'lo hoya latino levado." He shouldn't have borne the burden by himself. Fizuter Litrei, Rashi continues, it's V'kevon di'eno roi lishnei masois, and since it's not heavy enough for one to be motivated to hire two people, derech b'nei odom lishazek l'toyano ke'echod, it's the way of people to strain themselves and carry this load as an individual. Hilkoch dominami loynis. It's in that respect that it's the way of people to try to strengthen themselves and strain themselves in carrying it, and when it does break, it's like an oynis. It's like something beyond your control. The next enactment, bedigla, someone that carries a load using the digla. And Rashi explains this as well. He describes it with words. Rashi says, the Doro Bedigla Eitz Mefutzal Baroshoi. It's a pole that has a split end to it. The Keshubo Masa Shnei B'nei Odom. This is a load that really requires two people to carry. Umachnis Savoro Bein Shnei Tzolov. And the individual, the single individual that was carrying this, put his head between the two ends that are the tip or the end that happened to be split. Umuto Ashnei Ksefov, and he places the split section on his two shoulders. The Kurenose Veloshin Ashkenaz Gabla, Veroshisho Mate Oroich. The Ukshaimed Lofush Matsigo Bakarka. It's a very long pole, and when he wants to rest, so he can tilt the other end in onto the ground, and that helps him support the load when he wants to rest. So, as Rashi indicated, this is a load that at the outset you would have needed two people to carry. One person who tries to carry it is acting recklessly. And therefore, that's why he has to mishal and kuli, has to pay the whole amount. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabo Bar Bar Chona. Tavru le hanosh guloi chavisa de chamro. Rabba had wine that needed to be transported, and there were porters that transported his wine, but they broke it. It broke while they were transporting it. Shokal leglimayo. So Rabba, seeking compensation for it, took their shirts, their garments. Asu amru l'rav. They came and presented their claim or dissatisfaction that they lost their shirts, and they took their complaint to Rav. Omar Le Rav said to Rabo Baruchano, Hav Luhu Glimayu, give them back their garments. Omar Le Dino Hachi, Rabo asks Rav, is this the law? Omar Le In, yes, the Pasuk says, L'man telech b'derech tovim. Rashi adds, quite importantly, L'fni mishur sadin. Go beyond the letter of the law. In other words, yes, there is a letter of the law that they broke it through an act of recklessness. Rashi pointed that out. We should have maybe mentioned that earlier. Rashi, you can see under Dibur Masel Shkuloi, Noisei Masois, they are porters, Vitovrule, Shaloba Malka Midron, it was not on an incline, and Uvipshia, it was through recklessness. Inami Bedigla, alternatively, they were porters that were carrying a very heavy load using the Digla. Therefore, Rabba felt he was entitled to take their glimois. Nevertheless, Rav said, you should have gone beyond the letter of the law and leave them be. Omru le, the shkuloi, the porters, now speak up, and they say, Aniye Anan, we are poor individuals. The Tarchinon Kuliyoima, and we troubled ourselves all day in carrying those barrels. The Kafinon, and we are hungry. The less lawn meaty, and we have nothing. We have no money. We have no means of supporting ourselves. Omar le zil hav agrayu. So Rav said to Rabo, pay them. Pay them. You had hired them for transporting barrels. We'll pay them. Omar le dina hachi. So Rabo asks, is this the din? Is this the law? They recklessly broke my barrels, and now you're telling me to pay them their wages? Omar le in, and we continue the pasuk that we started. The orchas sadikim tishmor, and the ways of the righteous you shall maintain. Simply, Rav is saying, it's expected of you to go beyond the letter of the law, and in fact, pay them their wages. Before concluding, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.